Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration on this Sunday is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dearly beloved of God, imagine this if you can. Before God created the world and the universe and all that is in it, there was only God. Nothing else existed. Then God said, "Let there be light." And the moment He spoke those words, light came into existence. How could God do this? And later on Creation Day 4, cause lights to shine in the starry heavens, in the firmament, to give light on the earth? Answer, He could do this because He's the all-powerful God. What seems impossible to the finite mind of man, the stuff of fantasy, to the wise of the world, He can do, including the most impossible work of all works of creating a universe using no raw materials, just His Word. But wait, did I just say the most impossible of works God has ever done was creating a world saying, "Let there be"? Let me backtrack a bit and posit for you that there's an action the Bible ascribes to our God that's even more, humanly speaking, magnificent than causing light to shine from darkness and fashioning continents and oceans and plant and animal life and then man. What could be more incredible than that? Well, that's His work of causing His salvation light to luminesce in our world in the person of His Son into the hearts of humans. Now, on this Transfiguration Sunday, the last after Epiphany, we want to consider that truth, the light of the gospel, which is still shining brightly in a world steeped in darkness, from the brilliant lamp of Holy Scripture and right on into the hearts of Christ believers. So our text is drawn from 2 Corinthians. It was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a congregation located in the Greek city of Corinth, a city, as you may remember, he came to on his second mission journey. And upon his arrival, he found there a city totally enveloped in the darkness spiritually. Its inhabitants had no concept or idea of who the true God is, no understanding of the love He'd shown for the world in sending His Son Jesus as mankind's Savior. When Paul shared the message of the gospel that Jesus is the Christ, what he got was people's insults, and they opposed him. They just couldn't fathom the wonders of God's grace, of His reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not charging their sins against them. It was like someone had taken a large, thick blanket and draped it over their hearts so that they could not see the truth about the true God and Jesus Christ, whom he had sent. In our text, Paul points out who that someone was, who was responsible for the sad state of affairs, for keeping the citizens of Corinth in the dark about Jesus. He says it was the God of this age who had blinded their minds from seeing the truth. That was a reference, of course, to none other than Satan, who is sometimes referred to as the prince of darkness, the one who tries to prevent the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ from shining on people's hearts so that they remain in unbelief's darkness. And this God, the God of this age, is still, of course, very active in the world today. Continues, does Satan to pull out all the stops in his efforts to keep people in the dark spiritually, blinding them to the glory of God's salvation light in Christ, preventing them from anchoring their hopes in their beautiful Savior, the light of their souls, whom God sent here to rescue us all from the dominion of the devil's darkness and bring us into his kingdom of light. It's the God of this age who still today causes people to treat the message of the gospel with disdain, pass it off as unimportant, and even to oppose it, just as he caused to happen back in first century Corinth. Still true what Paul wrote to the Christians at Ephesus. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. But what's so amazing and wonderful, friends, is that despite the diabolical efforts of the God of this age, who does succeed in keeping many in the dark spiritually, that God still continues to cause his gospel light to shine forth brightly for the blessing of souls. He continues to reveal the glory of Christ using the lamp of Holy Scripture, which has lost none of its candle power, and it never will. As Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And the Apostle Peter, you've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And that's a truth that we love to sing about, very happy to sing about in many of our hymns. A couple examples. We have a sure prophetic word by inspiration of the Lord, and though assailed on every hand, Jehovah's word shall ever stand. Its light, descending from above our gloomy world to cheer, displays a Savior's boundless love, brings his glories near. 'Tis like the sun, a heavenly light that guides us all the day, and through the dangers of the night, a lamp to guide our way. Praise the Lord for this wonderful gospel lamp that he continues to use to shine forth still brightly in the world today. Proof of its power, that it is still shining bright, that it's lost none of its luminescence, candle power, is the fact that thousands upon thousands have seen the light of Christ shining forth from Holy Scripture. We who at one time also possessed hearts that were steeped in murky darkness, as dark could be, we were, as Paul writes in Ephesians, dead in trespasses and sins, in which we also once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, referring to Satan, who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But thanks to God's amazing grace in Christ, revealed to us in Scripture, that he has shined into our hearts, we now enjoy the privileged status of being part of the ecclesia, the group of called out ones, members of the holy Christian church. As Paul writes in our text, God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And here we might take a moment to recall the account we shared earlier from the Gospel of Luke of Jesus' transfiguration, which tells how the Savior led his disciples up on that high place of North Galilee, and when his face all of a sudden started to glisten like the sun, and his clothes kind of flashing like lightning, and Moses and Elijah appeared in glory talking with Jesus about his approaching death at Jerusalem, and then a cloud overshadowed them, and the voice of God the Father spoke from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him," or listen to him. Wherever there are people who do that, who hear him, who listen to Christ, speaking from the pages of Scripture, well, that's marvelous evidence of God's gracious work in human hearts, of bringing them out of the darkness into his light. He it is who uses the bright law of God, the Ten Commandments, to enlighten the eyes of our understanding to see, first of all, the guilt of our sins, what we deserve for them from God. Every transgression we commit makes us culpable for hellfire. Every misuse of God's name, every neglect of his word, every harboring of an impure thought, or every action of lovelessness towards others, that we acknowledge this, that we say with David, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, O Lord. And if you, Lord, should mark our iniquities, who could stand?" But also that you're happy for his invitation extended to you in the gospel to bring your sins to the cross, knowing he'll wash them away. That you rejoice in the gospel message. "There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. With the Lord there is mercy and abundant redemption. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." That you know this and find joy in that message shows that the God of heaven has made you a child of the light. Oh, the Bible, very, very beautiful light. How can we thank the Lord enough for that? How can we begin to grasp the depths of his fatherly goodness that he supplied to us in his mercy, an unlimited storehouse of mercy to which we may resort for comfort, forgiveness, and abiding hope, for inspiration to live for him and serve him all the days of our lives until that day when we will become partakers finally of that inheritance of the saints in heaven's light. And one other thought before closing today. You notice how in our text, verse 4, Paul applies to Jesus a very beautiful name or description. The Lord is the very image of God. Jesus is, Paul says. What's special about that description? Well, it's a reminder that Jesus is a mirror reflection of God. So that when we view Jesus with eyes of faith, we see God. We know what he's like in his holiness and his righteousness, in his mercy and in his compassion, that he's thinking thoughts of peace towards us and not of evil, and that he's planning for us to give us hope and a very bright future. Reminded of the episode, speaking about that, Jesus being the image of God, episode in the upper room, some of you will remember from the Passion history, where Jesus was gathered with his disciples there at Jerusalem. And he told them, if you really knew me, you would know my Father too. And from now on, you do know him and you have seen him. And when Philip, the disciple Philip, said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us since you're leaving us. Because he told them, I'm going away. Where I'm going, you can't come. Not yet. So Jesus, please give us a glimpse of the Father before you go. Remember what Jesus answered? Don't you know, Philip? The person who's seen me has seen the Father. So he impressed upon the disciples and us today that all who've come to know Jesus by faith have an accurate knowledge of God. Think on that for a moment, friends. Do you know and love Jesus? Do you trust in him as your Savior? Well, then you have seen God. But again, how do we come to see him? Getting back to our thought before, he has revealed himself only one way: on the sacred pages of the Scriptures. And that's why Peter, who later wrote in his epistle, Peter, who was on the Mountain of Transfiguration that day, he said, since we have the word of the prophets made more certain, we will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place till the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. So let us then continue, friends, to make Jesus' word, that brilliant lamp, our daily delight. Let's hear and learn it gladly. Let's use it, as the psalmist says, as a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. Let's rejoice and sing gladly as we continue our trek as pilgrims along life's path. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life, I'll walk till traveling days are done. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.